I'm going to allow you to be seated just for a moment. Just for a moment. First of all, I want our 8:30 service to know that the 11 o'clock service last week, we had 6 people baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. 6 people. And also at the conclusion of the 8:30 service last week, 2 people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful for that? And as you remember, there was a baptism, so that's 7 baptized, 2 filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm just so thankful for what the Lord does. And I have a confession to make. It was Father's Day. We were just, we're going to have a good Father's Day service. We're going to bring God's Word, and that happened. So I'm very thankful for that. Amen. We want to welcome Heather Poland. Heather, why don't you raise your hand? She is our intern from Apostolic Bible Institute. She's going to be helping us at the office. You'll see her leading services. She'll be the service coordinator for Wednesday evening. She'll be helping us with layout design. And as you know, Heather is from ATC, so she's not a stranger. We're glad to have you back, Heather, in an official capacity as intern. Amen. Also, had a great time yesterday. We had our speed challenge. And if you don't know our church, we do have the Bennett family as a part of our family. And if you're from this area, there's a lot of race car drivers in that family. And they kind of swept the whole thing. It was kind of like, who's going to win outside of the Bennetts? That was really what it came down to. But we had a great time yesterday at the speed challenge. Well, if you're a guest here today, thank you for being with us. Could we welcome our guests today, ATC? Thank you for worshiping with us. We're so glad you're here. And if this is the first time you've been in a service like this, we understand it may feel like a lot, but we just fuse our passion and our praise together. That's what this is all about. We do want you to know at the conclusion of this service, we will have what it is a tradition to us. It is our custom to have what is called an altar call. We have a guest speaker, Brother Amato. I'll introduce him to us in a moment. But when he finishes preaching, it is our custom to invite people to come forward and pray. You might feel, as he is preaching, a tug in your heart to come forward to say yes to God. Maybe you have a sickness in your body and you're needing healing. Maybe you need direction in your life or a deliverance from an addiction. God touches lives in a powerful way at that time of the service. So while some people are streaming out at the conclusion of the sermon, some people will be streaming forward, and this is a moment for you. We want you to know that. And then finally, my wife and I would love to personally say hello to all of our guests who are here today. Directly behind you, you'll see the foyer, and there is a sign that says Administrative Offices. We have an usher who will take you back to the hospitality suite. We have some fresh cookies for you. We have a gift for you. We won't take a lot of your time. We just want to say hello. So if you would do us that honor guests, we would just appreciate that so very, very much. And now if you would stand with me, we're so excited to have a dear friend of mine, Reverend Amato Huizar, with us from San Diego. Yes, he's roughing it, folks. He lives in San Diego. I almost stopped at Fleet Farm to get him a Carhartt jacket to deal with the weather here. It's in the 50s. I'm going to have to take him to the emergency room to get checked out for frostbite. So just pray for him. He is the youth president or former youth president of the Southern California District. He's very involved preaching all across the country. Right now, he's preaching camp meetings all over for young people. He is a powerful preacher. He has a powerful gift of evangelism on his life. He currently serves as the executive pastor at South Bay Pentecostal Church in Chula Vista, California. And he is here to preach to us, and then later this week he's going to be preaching at our own Wisconsin District Senior Camp for our teens. Would you help me welcome Brother Amato Huizar?
Amen. Can we give that to Jesus Christ? Someone give him the loudest hand clap of praise that you've given anyone yet. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Just shout hallelujah to the King right now. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, mighty God. Amen. Just remain standing. I know you've been standing. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here with some very, very dear people. I kind of hesitate saying friends because they are more than friends to my wife and I. They have been encouragers. They have been voices in our lives, and we're thankful. And when you serve the kingdom of God, you lose other friends, thank God, and you gain better friends. Amen. And I'm thankful to have these people, amen, in this family, the Soto family, in our lives. You are privileged to have Aaron and Heather Soto as your pastors, leading you and leading this church to revival. And their three wonderful children, we love them. Well, they're not children anymore. They're young adults. And so I have to be careful with how I phrase that. But we love them. And I hear so much about this church. This is a revival church, a church of influence. And I believe that the greatest days are ahead of us. Amen. And God is going to do a great work in our lives. It's so good to have my son with me. He's in your kids' church, and he's 9 years old, and he was so excited to be here. He has been talking about coming to Wisconsin to be with the Sotos, specifically his hero, Blake. And so he's very excited to be meeting up with him, and we're thankful for that. Pray for us. We're going to have youth camp this week, and pray God does a tremendous work at our youth camp. Amen. Pray for us that God would do a great work in our lives. If you're here for the first time, we're glad that you are here. Come back. Don't base your decision to return on my preaching. You've got a great preacher, so come back, and you will be blessed. So just let this time just pass by and give it another opportunity. And we know that you're going to be blessed. We're going to turn to the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139, verse number 14. I'm in the midst of so many great friends. And I am roughing it right now. The weather is messing with me. But someone has to be called to the mission field in Southern California. And I guess, Lord, here I am, choose me. So I'm just fulfilling my call. Amen. Amen. This church is connected to another family that we have had the opportunity to be with, and that's Brother and Sister Harris, who are in the country of India, and they're doing a great work, and we had the opportunity to be with them. So I want to tell you that firsthand that they are doing a tremendous job, and we've been there with them, and God is using them, and pray for them as they continue to lead. Amen. The 139th Psalm, verse number 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. If you can help me pray that in these next few moments, Jesus is going to speak to us. Lord, I ask that you would help us, Lord. God, that you would do a great work. God, that you would give us strength, Lord, through your word. And your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Anoint my lips to speak. And Lord, your congregation, your peoples, your children, God, Lord, ears to hear. And not just hear the word, but to do the word. I'm thankful for today, and I pray that someone's life, Lord, would be transformed and changed in the scope of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. One more time, can you praise him? And thank him in advance for what he's about to do in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. With the help of the Lord, I'm going to bring to you a message that I would like to title, The Sixth Sense. The Sixth Sense. We are fearfully, the word says, and wonderfully made. And it's amazing that his word has the ability to create things out of nothing. We know that because when he said, let there be, it was so. She said, let there be light, and light was created. He said, let's have oceans and let's have the skies, and they were created. And his word has creative power. And we know that even right now, while his word is being preached, amen, there could be nothing in your life, and you've been praying and you've been seeking, but the word of God has the power to create that very thing in your life. What am I talking about? I'm talking about healing in your body. I'm talking about healing in your home. I'm talking about salvation in your life. I'm talking about a deliverance from a thing that you need God to deliver you from. His word has a creative power. Amen. And I'm thankful for that creative power. And so we know also that he created us, but he did something a little bit special with us. He formed us out of the dust of the ground, and you and I have the fingerprints, and we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Made in what? The express image, amen, of him. We were created in his image, and you and I are a little bit more higher on the totem pole than a tree or a rose bush or the Grand Canyon, because we were created and formed with his hands, and he formed us out of the dust of the ground. And the Bible says that we were lifeless, but into us he breathed the breath of life, and that breath of life still gets breathed into every single person's life today. How so? He does it when he fills us with the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So you may have come lifeless here today, but I'm thankful that the Holy Ghost can sweep in this place, and the Holy Ghost can fill my life. The Holy Ghost, amen, can give me what I am searching for. And so in that, he created us to have what we would call five senses. We have five senses to experience life, and God is so great, and he's so awesome, and I would like to venture out and say cool, as the young people say, that he gives us the ability to live life with these senses. You know, the senses such as sight and hearing and smell. Yes, smell, taste, and touch. Without these senses, life would be a whole lot different. And it's very understandable that some may not have all the senses to their disposal. However, we are all given an opportunity to experience life with these senses. If it's sight, it's the ability to see something great that he has done. It's the ability to go to a place such as Niagara Falls and look at the marvelous wonders of the Lord and look at the Grand Canyon, so to speak. Or it may not be a monument or something that you would take a selfie in front, but it could be the sight of seeing, amen, your family be made whole. The sight of seeing a doctor's report that says there's no longer cancer in this body. The sight of seeing your lifeless child come back to life. He gives us sight to experience life. He gives us hearing, amen, and what you hear is important. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall we hear unless he sent a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent by God? What you hear impacts your life. And so we have moments where we can remember something that we hear. You hear that song and it takes you back to high school. You hear something, a conversation, and it takes you back to that moment when you were on that vacation that you were with, and you're hearing these things, and you're hearing things that create a sense in you, and you're able to experience the Lord of the universe, the King of Kings, and the God Almighty with these senses. Smell, yes, smell. Smell is one of the senses that we have to be able to remember things that we don't like or do like. Oftentimes they say you like foods, and when you taste food, the greatest sense that you're using when you taste that food, whether or not you're going to have it again, is smell. As soon as I landed in the great state of Wisconsin, I was already reminded of that smell of Culver's and the buttery bread bun and the cheese curds being fried to my perfection. Oh, so smell, the smell so good. It brought memories when I took my first bite, and I was so grateful to be back and to be here and to experience this. It's the smells that give me something to remember, but also it's those other smells as well that you would like to forget, you know. The smell of now waking up with a 9-year-old as you travel, he is quite smelly. And he doesn't believe in baths every day. He says, Dad, just whenever I feel like it, I think I should. But as for me in my house, we're going to stay clean. And smells give us something to remember. You can smell something and it takes you back to that time. Or if you've grown up and there was one food that your family ate and for some reason maybe you hadn't eaten it in a while, but there's a smell that reminds you and takes you back to your childhood. Smells are important. Taste as well. You taste something and you say, I don't want that. I'm not coming over. Or yes, I do want that. I've had friends that in order to satisfy and please, and I'm not saying to do this here because I want the marriages to flourish here in Appleton, have friends that would numb their mouth because their wives made something that perhaps they didn't taste so well. For better or for worse. Till death do us part. But there are tastes that you have and they taste so good, and you'll go back to it and you'll say, this is great. I'm a returning customer because of the taste. And touch, and when you have the opportunity to go to a zoo or you go to, we have SeaWorld and we can pet the starfish and touch the dolphins, and touch gives you the ability to touch textures and things, and you're reminded of those things when you touch them. And so you're mesmerized and you're fascinated by that thing, and you're just instantly given and drawn to touch. And without these senses, life would be a whole lot different. And whether or not you have all 5 or 4, 3, 2 or not all of them, I'm thankful that God gave us the ability to live life with these senses. He gives you the ability to live life with these senses, and it takes it a step further, not just to live life, but he gives us the ability to use these senses to know him and to love him, and to let these senses take us closer to him. We see in the Gospels that the Bible is so cool that it gives us a scripture, it gives us a story, it gives us a for instance for every sense that we see and that we have here in our lives. In Mark chapter number 5, the Bible says that Jesus was crossing over, and he went to the other side of the sea, in verse number 1, in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, which had his dwelling among the tombs, and he lived there, and no man could bind him, no man can tame him, not with chains, because he had been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. Nothing could hold him down. He was a wild man. Nobody can tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But in verse number 6 in Mark chapter number 5, it says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. It's amazing to see that this man, nothing could tame him. Nothing could hold him down. Nothing could keep him in one place. But as soon as his creator stepped onto his scene, amen, he saw him. And he says he was afar off, but he ran and worshiped the King of Kings. Why did he do that? Because in our bodies, amen, we are literally programmed to know when our creator is in the midst. You could be in all disaster in your life. You could be in a situation that you feel helpless. But as soon as you see Jesus, something happens inside of us and we're drawn to worship him. I'm led to believe that in that moment, he didn't have a choir there. In that moment, he didn't have Brother Seth Boyd leading him in worship. worship, but he saw Jesus and he knew to worship him. And the Bible tells us that as soon as he worshiped him, amen, the Lord spoke into his situation and he was set free. All the other senses in your life may not be working so well today, but you're here in the house, and guess what? This is his house. He is living here, and I can see Jesus. I can see him. And all it takes is for you to see him. Amen. There's no telling what God can do in your life. You may not be able to hear him. You may not be able to smell him. You may not be able to taste or touch him, but you can see him. Amen. I can see him. Lord, I'm in my place of despair, but I can see you. Lord, I'm in a place where I need a miracle, but I can see you. And there's no telling when you fix your eyes on him, amen, what can happen in your life. And so what you look at is important. What you see is important. It gives you the ability to go, amen, and to be part of something that is great. So what you see, young people, what you see, amen, adults, is important in your life. Nobody can tame this man, but when Jesus stepped in, he saw him. He saw him. Why was he programmed to worship him? Why are we programmed to lift up our hands? And when I use the word program, it just happens, amen. Why do people start jumping, amen, when we're worshiping? Why do people begin to let tears fall down their face as the Spirit of God is moving over them? Why? Amen, because you and I were created to give him pleasure. Everything that he created was created to give him glory and honor, amen, to the Most High Kings. In fact, can we do that right now? Can we begin to give him glory? Can we begin to give him honor? Hallelujah. I can't help but to praise you, Jesus. And it's amazing that his worship was the key to the miracle in his life. Amen. If you're waiting for something, a big bang to happen, if you're waiting for something great for you to finally believe, amen, all you need to do is see him and worship him. I don't feel like it today. Amen. It's not based on how you feel. It's based on who you know. And I know, amen, that he is the author and the finisher of my faith. I know that all things work together for the good to those that are called, amen, of God. And so we know that worship takes us to a place of deliverance. We see, amen, that sight was the delivering factor for this man who was in the tombs. Amen. No one can tame him, but the sight of Jesus is what saved him. We see, amen, in the Gospels in Mark chapter number 10. Hallelujah. There was a man who was also blind. He could not see. But he didn't let the loss of one sense stop him from receiving the miracle that he needed. Maybe life has blinded your eyes with things, or you're looking through some lenses of defeat or despair, or news that is not pleasant to your life. You're looking through a lens of things that don't look right. And for man, it is impossible, but for God, nothing shall be impossible. You see, church, he is the way maker. He can make a way where there is no way. You could find yourself in front of a sea of indecision and despair, amen, and sickness and whatever life may bring you. But God is able, amen, as he did for his people, to make a way in that sea where there was no way, amen. And I'm not going to go before him, amen, with natural eyes anymore. But it's time to see, amen, and speak those things that are not as though they already are. I may not see, amen, the miracle already, but God has proclaimed it to me in my life. I may not see, amen, that thing coming to fruition, but I've got a word, Pastor, and I know that your word, amen, that you've delivered to this church, amen, is going to give me faith for the Lord to make a way out of no way. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 10, verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Verse 47 says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, you may have come in defeated, deflated, without, but as soon as I stepped here and I was greeted by Brother Musky Mike and greeted by the wonderful staff and led and given a warm welcome, I could hear, amen, the Lord begin to move in our lives. I could hear the Lord begin to speak into our lives. And as we were getting ready to come out, I can hear the sound of worship given to our Jesus. I can hear that Jesus is in the house. I may not see it, but guess what? I can hear it. I may not be able to touch it, but I can hear it. I may not be able to see, amen, the things that are before me, but someone needs to hear the word of the Lord today, and let the hearing of God's word get you to your miracle. And when he heard, I'm sure that, because when one sense is not as good, the other senses are heightened. But when he heard it was Jesus, I'm pretty sure that there were other people that may have sounded like him. There were other people that may have tried to mimic him. But when he heard Jesus, it lets me know that he had been around him enough to hear him. And as soon as you get implanted into a church and hear the word of God, you're going to be able to hear him so clearly that you're going to say, I don't care if I can't see him. I don't care if naturally I can't feel him, but I can hear him. And amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, amen, through his preacher. And so what you hear is important. If you're letting every day yourself to be infiltrated by things that you hear that don't edify you, that don't help you, that don't serve the purpose of God in your life, you better change stations. You better change CDs. You better change records and say, give me something that I need to hear, and I need to hear the word of faith in my life. Amen. I need the word of God. I need the word of God. It's not enough just to hear him, but I've got to do the word. It's not enough just to hear the word, but I've got to live and do the word of God in my life. And when he heard him, no one can shut him up. No one can quiet him down. They said, why don't you keep calm for a little bit? He said, I'm sorry. I've got a miracle in my life that I need, and I can hear that Jesus is in the house. You may be in a situation that you need a miracle, and you can hear, amen, that Jesus is in the house. Don't let nobody, come on, don't let nothing, don't let a circumstance stop you from saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Come on, hallelujah. As you can hear him, can he hear you? Can he hear you? Can he hear you? Hallelujah. And he says, he heals him. He said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. You've got to say, get out of my way, neighbor. Get out of my way. I can hear that Jesus is in the house. Don't ever negate and don't ever discount preaching in your life. Don't ever discount the word of God in your life. Amen. Preaching is what saves me. Preaching is what gives me faith. Amen. To stand in an impossible situation. Hallelujah. And say, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. A rod and a staff is a representation of a pastoral voice in my life. And so don't ever discount the preaching of the word. Don't ever discount the word of God in your life, because it's hearing of the word that's able to transform you. The next sense that we see in the scripture is smell. Yes, I was able to find a scripture on smell. The Bible's cool. It can find anything on any topic, on anybody. But before Jesus had given himself as the perfect sacrifice, the Bible tells us that in the Old Testament they would bring animals to sacrifice for their sins. And I'm thankful today that as we walked up, people weren't carrying animals. Some bigger than others, right? Had a crazy week. So mine's a little bigger than yours. Aren't you thankful that no one brought in animals and livestock? And so the Bible would tell us that, as people presented a sacrifice, he would say, that is a sweet smelling savor to me. Or he would say, that's a stench. I don't like that smell that you've offered to me. And you're able to smell something when it's cooked or when it's being prepared or it's being pressed. That's how perfumes are made. They're pressed. The fragrances are pressed. And it's the residual thing that comes out of that thing that's being pressed. And so now I'm thankful we don't have to do that. He became the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect lamb for sinners slain. But the Bible still tells us, amen, that we must present to him a sweet smell, as it says in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 18. It says, sent from you an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What you are consumed of will release a fragrance to him. And you know, people may take baths and use deodorant and use perfume, but is there people sometimes that you're around and you're like, they've got a stinky attitude. I mean, they're just sour. I don't even like to be around them. I don't care if you're using the latest and greatest of perfumes and colognes. You just stench. There's a stench about you. It's because of what you're consuming and what you're having, what you're a part of, what you've let your life become. And so when we come to the house of the Lord and we offer a sacrifice unto him, you may be offering a sacrifice, but the question is it a sweet-smelling savor to him? Just because you offer a sacrifice doesn't mean that it's well-pleasing to God. And so what you partake of in your daily life, what you partake of, amen, at work, what you partake of at home is going to be released, amen, and it's going to be given to God. And he's going to be able to see, amen, you worship and give the sacrifice, but he's also going to be able to smell whether or not you are giving him something of a sweet-smelling savor. You see, my body is a living sacrifice. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's like the bare minimum. You don't have to have a solo in the choir. You don't have to be an extraordinaire in a certain thing. But your reasonable service is present your body as a living sacrifice. It tells me that what happens between Sundays is important. It happens what I partake of and intake is important. Because God doesn't want your sacrifice that's full of this world. He doesn't and can't accept a sacrifice that's half-hearted. He can't accept a sacrifice that says, well, I'm just giving you the leftovers, God. But when you come to the presence of the Almighty God, everybody under the sound of my voice should be saying, Lord, I'm offering you my life. I'm offering you my heart. I'm offering you everything that I've got. I know I'm not perfect. I know I had a mess up this week. But Lord, I'm presenting to you a sacrifice unto you. you that is sweet and smelling, a savior to you, God. And I want you to be well pleased. And so the question is God pleased with your sacrifice? It's not based on how much money you put in the envelope that week. It's not based on how much you give, amen, of yourself and the programs of the church, but it's based on whether or not you're truly giving a sacrifice to him. I cannot buy my way to heaven. My talents can't get me there, but it's a sacrifice unto him. And so you're able to release a fragrance from your life. And you can tell people that are Holy Ghost filled. Amen. You can tell when people believe in God. You can tell because there's something about them. Amen. And they attract other people. So your smell is important. And to smell, amen, that we give to him. Taste, the Bible says in Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you've tasted of him, come on. Once you've had a little bit of Jesus, you've got to come back. Once you've had an experience that we experience, there's no substitute. There's nothing that can substitute the power of God in our lives. Once you've had, amen, and I don't care if it's been 10 years ago, 40 years ago, or 4 months ago, once you've tasted of Jesus, amen, nothing in this world can satisfy my soul. Nothing in this world can satisfy like my Jesus. That's why when people come to God and then they make the decision to leave, they make terrible sinners. Because they don't fit in. Once you've been transformed by the power of Jesus, you don't belong in the world. You don't belong in that situation anymore. Well, I just started living for God. I know. But you don't belong in the world, amen. I'm here for the first time, I know, but guess what? You don't belong there, amen. You belong to a kingdom, the kingdom of God. And the Lord has created a place for us, amen. He's prepared a place for you and I. And so we realize that once you've tasted of him, I'm not going to go and try something else. You know, because of my age, I'm forced to substitute some things in my life. In my diet, I'm speaking. But an iced tea filled with Splenda can't substitute a true sweet tea. A protein-style burger. In California, we have protein-style burgers. We wrap them in lettuce to save and hold on the carbs. Because once you get a certain age, young people, it's hard to keep up. But it just doesn't taste the same. And nothing could substitute that taste. And so once I've had of him, I can't substitute it for anything else. And this world may have given you a bitter taste. And life will give you a bitter taste. And the people of God had just received the miracle by crossing the Red Sea. The Bible says in Exodus 15 that they went and found a pool of water. They were thirsty. They drank from that water, which was bitter. But many things come out of that story and passage that maybe perhaps their taste buds were already bitter before they got there. That while they reached that point of drinking from the waters that God had provided for them, that life had changed their taste, and life and problems had changed their outlook. And it didn't matter what God had given them. It could have been Dr. Pepper. It could have been sweet tea. It was still going to be bitter to their life. And so that's why when we leave, amen, the world, you've got to leave everything behind and say, God, give me something new. And I'm thankful that in that moment, the Bible says that he turned those bitter waters sweet. And your life may be tasting in a way that's bitter and that can't have flavor, that it can't be something more than what it needs to be, but he's able to turn that which is bitter and make it sweet. In Mark chapter number 5, and I need to conclude, amen. Thankfully, there's 5 senses. The Bible says, after he heals a man, he's making his way to heal another man's daughter. But there was a woman, the Bible says, that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she was a woman that knew that this Jesus could heal her. She could see him. She could hear him. And there was a crowd of people. She can definitely smell him. But those senses didn't lead her to the miracle that she needed that day. It's not enough just to see him if I can't see him. It's not enough just to hear him if I can't hear him. But sometimes you need to press through the way and say, I'm not leaving until I touch him. I'm not leaving until I touch the Lord God Almighty. And as she pressed through the crowd, the Bible says that she touched the hem of his garment. Didn't touch his flesh. She touched something that was touching him. She touched his garment. And the word says that virtue left him, left Jesus. And she was made whole. And you've got to come to a point in your life where you say, I'm not just going to stand back and see him and just hear him. But I'm here in his presence, and I'm not going to leave until I touch the master. I'm not going to leave until I touch, amen, Jesus Christ, and let him move in my life and do the miracles that he wants to do in my life. We have these senses to know him, and we've looked at all five of them, but I believe there's one more, that it doesn't matter if you're missing one of those senses. It doesn't matter if you're missing all of those senses. If you have this one sense, this sense that every child of God has the ability to have, and that is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I may not be able to hear him. I may not be able to touch him. I may not be able to see him or see it in the natural, but I've got faith that my God is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And that power is the Holy Ghost, and he wants to do something in your life. Come on, hallelujah. Does anyone have faith? Does anyone have faith that God is able, amen, to do that work in your life? Does anyone have faith? Hallelujah. As he went back, he ascended, or the Bible says he rose up from the dead, Jesus Christ. He goes back and meets his disciples. But there was one, Thomas. The Bible never calls him Doubting Thomas. We do. But his name is Didymus Thomas, which means twin, which means that could be me. He's a twin of humanity. A twin of you and I. That in, yes, and even in this world that we live in today, because of all the social things going on, we've got to see it to believe it. He was in there, and Jesus is there, and they're like, man, giving him fist bumps, high fives, you did it. And Thomas is there, well, did you really do it? Can I see the sides where they put a spear through you? Can I see your hands where the nails went through? And so he had to see him and touch him, and he had to see that firsthand. And oh, what a tragedy it was for Thomas to be in that place and to be around him and not have the faith to believe that this was truly Jesus. But I'm thankful that the mercy of the Lord is so awesome. That even in my deepest, darkest, most lowest parts of faith in my life, he's able to reach up and rescue me. In John 20, verse number 29, it says, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. You see, there's a sixth sense that you and I need to have as you stand to your feet here this morning. These senses that God has given us are not just to experience life. Go to wonders of the worlds. But the senses that he has given you is to know him in a greater way, in a way that you've never known him before. And it lets me know that my senses can get me a miracle, can heal my body, can take away the pain, can heal me from addiction. I was with Brother Harris in the country of India. We saw a lady come to church who could not see. And a young person laid hands on this lady. And she received her sight in that very moment. And I'm thankful for the power of God that was able to do that. But it wasn't just the fact that we could see that there was a need. But the fact was we had faith that God was able to perform that work in my life. And so the things we have and the senses we have are not for salvation's sake. But that sixth sense of faith, it's my belief, Pastor Soto, that it's that sixth sense of faith that leads me to salvation. It says, I'm not a perfect portrait yet. I'm not perfect at all. I'm far from it. But God, you're going to create a new work in my life. And God, I have faith that you're going to restore my home. You're going to heal my marriage. That you're going to deliver me from this situation. But Lord, most importantly, I have faith that I'm going to be a new creature. And old things are passed away, and behold, everything will become new. And I have faith that there's going to be a day, and oh, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. There's going to be a day when I cross from this world into the next. And he's going to say, well done, thou good and strong servant and handsome servant. Faithful servant, enter now into the joy of the Lord. I'm afraid sometimes we're waiting to see it. We're waiting to hear it. If I can just taste it, and if it tastes good, I'll come back. We're waiting to touch it and feel him. If I can feel him, then I'll come back. But in the day that we live in today, and I'm about to open up these altars, we need people that have faith and say, Lord, give me this sense of faith to let you do a work in my life and to perform the miracles in my life and to take me to a place not just to live here. You know what miracles do? They help me right here. But faith helps me over there. I'm not living for this world. I'm going to a place where there'll be no more sorrow. No more tears, no more heartache, no more pain, no more disease, no more past due bills, no more problems to face. But I'll be in a place of freedom where my Lord and Savior can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you want that today? I invite you to this front. I want to open up these altars. Hallelujah. And I want to impart some faith in your life. As I've mentioned, I've seen miracles, the greatest miracles done. But it's my belief that the greatest of all are the miracles of salvation, where Jesus fills someone with the baptism of his spirit, with the evidence of speaking in a new tongue, where someone is water baptized in the name of Jesus, where they say, I take on this name and I'm burying the old man and I'm coming out renewed and restored. And in the name of Jesus, amen, God is going to give you faith here today to believe, amen, amen, that he's able to do that exceeding and abundant work in your life. Do you have faith that God is able to do that? As we gather here in this front, I believe he's going to do that miracle in our lives. Would you lift your hands with me? We're going to pray together. We're going to be led in song, and it's going to be awesome. But we're going to pray together this prayer. And we're going to believe that God is going to give us a measure of faith like never before. In the name of Jesus, I ask right now that you would do a work like none other. God, that you will instill faith in the lives of your people. God, that you would instill faith, God, in our lives to know that it's not enough just to see you, to hear you, to taste you, to touch you. Lord, hallelujah. Oh, Lord. And for my body to be presented as a living sacrifice, a sweet-smelling Savior. But, Lord, I need need faith right now. Come on, is there faith right now for God to do that impossible work? If you need a miracle in your body, if you need a healing in your body, I want to invite you to this front as well. Hallelujah. I believe God can heal you. Hallelujah. I believe God can heal you and restore you. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you'd like to receive it, I want to pray with you that God can fill you.